Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
You gotta tap that free white cane. Tap that when you're getting on a plane. Tap that in the pouring rain. Tap that, no, there ain't no shame. You gotta tap that.
So thank you, everybody, for joining. I really enjoyed yesterday's session. And I realized that, I wasn't there Sunday because it was my husband's birthday and we were celebrating his birthday. And I thought I would tell you, just take a minute to tell you a little bit about me. I am the treasurer of the NFB Senior Division. And I've also... I'm retired now, but I was the director of senior services at the Colorado Center for the Blind, and also have a certification as an orientation and mobility instructor. So that's just a little bit about me. To help me today is Sharon. Sharon, pronounce your last name for me. I'm sorry.
It's Monty.
Monty.
Yes, like Monty Hall.
Okay, like Sharon that. Monty from Minnesota, and yep. Sharon, I'm so Sharon has taught orientation and mobility for a number of years, yep. And many other things as well. So thank you so much for joining us, Sharon.
Thanks.
And you want to tell a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was born an Iowan, but I went to the Commission for the Blind under Dr. Jernigan. I was very lucky. Then I taught rehab in Iowa for about 4 years, and then I went to Idaho, and I was a field representative, which meant teaching and counseling. I didn't like that job, so I went off to Chicago and taught travel. But it was a little cold there, so I got an offer from Dick Davis to come to New Mexico. And I taught there for over 4 years, and I didn't like the heat. So so I moved to Minnesota, and I was teaching computers. I didn't want to teach travel in Minnesota.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, you know, later I found you have to go and travel anyway. I taught computers there. I worked for SSB as a Braille proofreader, and then I taught ESL, and I did a little travel teaching there, not too much. So anyway, I'm now retired, and I've had lots of challenges. The thing that they don't tell you when you retire is it's good that you can go to all your doctor appointments.
Yeah.
So so I've been using a walker some, using a short white cane for sometimes. So I've had a lot of experiences in the last year. So
yeah.
Hopefully I can share some of those things.
Yes. Well, thank you, Sharon. I'm so glad you're doing this with me. I did want to tell, so yesterday we talked all about white canes and how to use them and the length of the cane and so on. I did tell you that I would find out about the 50-50 cane. Unfortunately, The National Center, the Material Center, has completely sold out of the 50-50 canes. For a while,
Boy.
they had certain sizes of them, but they no longer do. So I told you I'd find out about that. But what we're going to talk about today is if you need something besides a long white cane, you need some support.
Yep.
And a lot of people do, you know, as
Yeah.
we age, we may have an injury. We may have just plain old problems with balance.
Right.
And sometimes it's related to an illness or injury, and sometimes it just isn't. But we wanted to go over how to use what we recommend as far as using some kind of support along with a long white cane. So I'm just going to start with talking about the support cane. There are white support canes, and that's what we always, from the Colorado Center, what we always gave people if they needed extra support. Because
Right.
again, the color of the cane being white does identify you as a person who is blind or has a vision loss. The support cane itself is just because it's white doesn't mean that it's any less supportive. They make white support canes that are just as supportive as the other support canes. Of course, they're a lot shorter. They usually have a rubber tip, and you can get different kinds of handles. You can get what's called a T handle, and there are other kinds of grips you can get. You can kind of experiment. We usually got that T handle, I think. As far as I know, they still just come in three lengths: short, medium, and long, which sounds really basic, but within that, they're very adjustable. So you can even adjust it a quarter of an inch if that's what's the most comfortable. The nice thing about a support cane is that you can use your long white cane at the same time as you're using your support cane.
Yes. Yeah.
So if I were using a support cane with my long white cane, I'm right-handed, so it would feel most comfortable for me to use the long white cane in my right hand. My left hand have the support cane. And with the support cane, I would measure, I would help people with the comfort level of that support cane. So you want that support cane to be the length that's comfortable for you. So that would mean you don't want it to be so short that you're having to reach way down to use it.
Right.
And you don't want it to be so long that you're hunching up your shoulder to use it.
Right.
So somewhere in between, and like I said, these are very adjustable. Sometimes even like a half an inch can make a big difference.
Yep.
The way you would use that is to increase, we talked about the arc in front of you, that you have an arc a little wider than your shoulders. Well, in this case, because you have a support cane in one hand, you would need to increase that arc a little bit, because you're not only clearing what I call clearing the path for yourself, but also for that support cane. You want to make sure you know that that support cane is going to go on level ground, that it's going to be the same, that it's not lower than what you think or higher than what you think, because that can get you in a lot of trouble. So So that's the main thing is clearing the path for the support cane as well as the rest of your body. And Sharon, do you have anything you want to add about that?
Sometimes you may have problems with one knee or the other. And so then you need to have the support cane on the opposite side because that's the way it works. So that m might mean you'd have to, I'm sorry, that people keep joining and stopping. Anyway, and so then you have to use your long white cane in the other hand. Now, I learned how to use my cane with either hand. It turns out I have a bad right knee, and so I have the support cane on my left side. Also, it's easier if you do kind of a rhythm. So you move your support cane at the same time as you move your cane, your white cane. It sounds difficult. It really isn't if you do that.
Yeah, I agree, Sharon. Thank you for bringing that up because, I just talked about handedness, but you're right. If you have an injury on one side, you do want the support cane to be on the other side. And it's really good. We didn't talk about this yesterday, but it's really good to be able to use a long white cane in either hand. Say you're carrying something heavy, it's nice to be able to switch hands with your cane. The other thing about a support cane is I believe that that's the easiest thing you can use to give you support and allow you to still use a long white cane.
Yeah, I
We will
agree.
talk about other things, but oftentimes people would come to us and they would be using a walker.
Yep, got
And
one of those.
yeah, so, a walker is necessary if you need more support than what a support cane can give you. But a lot of times, people were using a walker because the folks around them didn't know about a support cane. They didn't know any different. So they thought, okay, this person doesn't see very well anymore. So we're just going to give them a walker so that they can tell what's in front of them. Well, come to find out, often they really didn't need that much support, and a support cane would give them as much support as what they needed. The other thing that Sharon said that I think is really important is getting in that rhythm. And that's where, I think you can overthink it. If you overthink it, it's really hard. But if you just get the cane in your hands, you will come up with a rhythm. I've never had anybody who couldn't do that. And so that it works pretty easily. Any, maybe we should, well, I don't know if I want to go to questions yet, but I really love the support cane and the long white cane together. I've had students be able to do all kinds of travel all over Denver using those two canes together because you're going to get the support you need and decide, determine what's in front of you and be able to travel in a safe way.
Also wear a backpack so you don't have your so your hands are free.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of times people say, "Oh, I don't want to have both of my hands, with something." Well, but if that allows you to go places and do things, a backpack is wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about Well, we talked a little bit about use of a walker.
Old.
Now, it is possible to use a walker with a white cane. I say that with a lot of hesitation because I've worked with people for a number of years and I've only had a handful of people who were able to really do that well.
Right.
If you're going to really check out what's in front of your walker, then use your walker for support. It takes a lot of concentration, a lot of effort, and it's slow, but it will allow you to travel independently.
Yeah.
So, what you would want to do would be to have a cane that's longer than you would normally use for just walking, a long white cane. You would swing the cane in an arc in front of your walker. So you clear that, you know that there's no obstacle there. Then come back and hold on to the walker with both hands and take a couple of steps. Stop and repeat that. So it takes a while to do. You have to be really motivated to want to do that and be patient that it is a slower method of travel. If you are a person who can't really stand still unless you're holding on to both handles of the walker, this doesn't work for you because you do have to hang on with one hand while you're using your cane to swing an arc in front of your walker.
Wow.
There may be adaptations to a walker, if there was one that had a handle in the middle,
That would help.
that would help. There may be, I haven't seen anything like that on the market, but there may, you may know somebody who could do that. That would be helpful. And so, I think that walking with a walker and no long cane really has a lot of limitations because you're not going to tell what's in front of you.
Right.
I know some people do that and they are in maybe a care facility and there isn't, they're not going to come up to steps or curbs or stairs or anything like that. It still seems a bit risky to do that to me. But Sharon, do you have any thoughts about that? You've used
Well,
the walker, I think.
Yes, and I have to say I have some vision, about 20 over 400, which means that I can see things. I find I can use a walker just fine in my condo building because there are no steps at all. Also, sometimes if I really need, I have balance problems right now, and so if I use a walker, I put a small white cane with duct tape on my walker, and it's, I don't know if you can see it from here, but I thought I'd let you see what it looks like. If you can, I don't know if you can. Anyway, I got a child's cane because the regular cane was way too long, and I used duct tape to put it there because sometimes I find if I don't put a white cane on there, they assume I'm not blind, and that's not a good idea. The other thing I discovered is that if I use just a support cane and not a long white cane, they don't know I'm blind either. Isn't that interesting? They know this long white cane. That's a blind person. I have had these kinds of experiences. She has to be kind of careful to make sure that they know you're blind, because I don't want somebody to run over me because they think I'm just going to stop. I've tried, they're both white cane or whatever, but for people who really have a balance problem, which I seem to have right now, and I've been to the doctor and they did all the kinds of stuff and they said they didn't know why. So sometimes you have to figure out, what works for you. I know the short white cane and the long white cane work way better than trying to use a walker with a cane, because if you lean too far, the walker might go up. You have to have a nice walker that's not been used by a lot of other people. That's one
Okay,
of the
that's a
things.
good point.
Well, it's true. I was at Walgreens yesterday, and this woman was walking along, and she had this screeching walker. And anyway, that's a different story. But I know that people have a lot of trouble thinking that they don't need something that they really do need. I've experienced this with many of my sighted friends too. I've got one who has balance problems, and she would always make her husband go with her. Well, I kept saying to her, "Get a walker so you can go." Oh, she's so happy. She got one. And so I'm just saying, it's hard to say, "Yes, I need a walker. Yes, I need a white cane." But sometimes that's what you got to do. That's
Right,
all.
realistically, yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about using a wheelchair with a white cane. And actually, my personal opinion is that that is easier than a walker and a white cane. I've worked with people who've
Probably.
had motorized wheelchairs and use that with a white cane. I've worked with people who have manual wheelchairs with a white cane. And so, with a motorized wheelchair, you would need to have it slowed way down. So, it is more like the speed of walking to really be safe. I've seen people with these motorized chairs that go super fast. It would be like us running. Well, it's hard to really process what's in front of you and to get the information and the reaction time with that kind of speed. So slowing it way down, and then just like with the support cane, your long white cane is clearing the path for you and the chair. So in this case, you have to have quite a bit wider arc. You're clearing the path for the wheels of the wheelchair. If you use a manual chair, one thing that can work pretty well if you can do it is to get a chair, a wheelchair that you power with your feet, that you just step along with your feet. You use your cane. Again, you need to have a little wider arc to accommodate the wheels of the wheelchair. But that allows you to really have control over where your wheelchair is going. They also make wheelchairs that are specially developed for people who have one arm, the use of only one arm. And that would be appropriate for somebody who's using a white cane with a wheelchair that they're having to power by hand with their hand. because if you don't have that, you're going to go in circles. So again, that would be it. Now, when you make a turn using a wheelchair, you have to have a pretty wide arc and really check out where you're turning before you turn. But I have worked with several people who have done very well using a wheelchair and a white cane and have made it work for them. I think for them it was easier than a walker and a white cane.
I totally agree with that.
When I was in recently in Mississippi helping them with a center, a new center for the blind. And there was a senior who came in for some training, and she had something called a side walker. And it was very interesting to me. I had never seen one before, but it was something she could lean on. She held it in one hand, and it had either three or four legs, and so it was a
Oh.
lot of support on one side. And
Right.
I did look it up. You can find something like that on Amazon, a sidewalker.
Oh, cool.
And it's not made for blind people. It's made for, specifically, it's for people who need support. She learned, this was a woman in her 90s, she learned to use long white cane with that sidewalker. I mean, it was really fast she learned to do it. In fact, I said to her, "Are you sure you haven't done this before?" Because she was so natural at it. It was just kind of a rhythm that, she used. So, yeah, she learned to use it within the first half hour that we were working together.
Wow. I
So,
want to find one of those because sometimes I need what, I need something.
I did see one, and they're not very expensive. I think they were under $50.
Well,
So, yeah. Anyway, that was something new I learned late last year that I didn't know about. So, do we have questions about these different devices before we go on to hearing loss?
Hi, Judith.
Judith, yes.
Yeah, I had broken my hip a couple of years ago, and before many, many years ago, I broke an ankle, and that was my first experience with a walker. And I noticed that some people had crutches, and
Right.
you were talking about a support cane on one hand, and then when I broke my hip, I had a support cane for a while after the walker. And then the white cane on the other hand. My experience with the walker was it was a lot better than crutches
Okay.
because your hands were free. That's the biggest thing about it. You could tie something on the front to keep things in, and if you needed to stop, your hands were free. So that would be my concern about a cane on one hand, a cane on both hands, is your hands are you can't free up your hands to do anything, really. I mean, unless these canes stand alone by themselves.
No, they don't stand alone by themselves. What Sharon suggested of using a backpack, I think, is pretty necessary. You're going to have use both canes. If you are like walking up to something, let's say you're walking up to a coffee counter and you're getting yourself a cup of coffee and putting sugar and cream in it, and you do need both hands, you can figure out a way to hold, I guess, hold your white cane and your support cane kind of between your side and your arm. I don't know how else you could, or you could lay them on the ground
Yeah,
and
I
put.
would have to. Yeah, I'm always using my hands. That was one thing I was aware of when I was using, a walker or whatever. I'm always using my hands. So I need them free. But anyway, I just thought I would mention that. Fortunately, I don't think I need two canes at this point. So that would, yeah, I'm always walking up to things and doing things with hands. So.
But I do want to make one point. If you stop walking, you're going to shorten your life.
Oh yeah, mobility is very important.
It is
Yeah.
really, no matter how you get it done, if you can walk, you're in way better shape
Yeah. Yeah.
as your life goes on.
Yeah, I agree.
Hi, this is
Thank
Jane from
you.
Connecticut.
We have another question.
Yeah, can you hear me? This is Jim from Connecticut.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi,
Go ahead.
I got a question. Does the same thing apply with the walkers that using a swipe and walk at a time with rollators? Do you know what a rollator is?
Yeah, I've
It's
got
like a
one.
walker, but it's much more mobile.
What is a rollator? I don't know.
It's a type of walker, but it's a lot easier to use than a walker. You can actually stop and put on the brakes
Yes.
and sit down.
Yeah. It would be
This is.
the same technique for that. Yes, I know what you're
Yes.
talking about. I just didn't realize there was a different name.
Yeah. Yeah, there are walkers that you stand and then there are rollators that you can sit down when you need to. I put all kinds of stuff in my in there's a thing underneath I can put my everything like my purse or whatever else I want. So sometimes when I don't have it, I thought, oh, I better get a backpack to do this. So they're nice for that reason. And they have four wheels on them, so they will go wherever you want to go. Some of these walkers have two wheels on the front and slides on the back. And they're not as easy to use. I would encourage people to get a rollator so you can really go somewhere if you're going to do that. But I'm going to look into the side one because that might be a better answer for me.
Okay, good.
So
That's a good.
just one last question. So the cue for rollators or walkers for that matter is sweep and walk, sweep and walk.
Yes, and generally, if you need to hang on to the walker with both hands when you take your steps, you're going to have to sweep while you're stopped, while you're not walking. So you
Oh.
sweep, you've stopped, you sweep, you take a couple steps, stop, sweep, come back and hang on. And take a couple steps. That makes sense?
Makes sense. It's going to take forever, though.
It does take a long time. You have to be pretty motivated. And
Yeah.
you may be somebody who doesn't need to hang on with both hands when you take a step. I don't know.
No, I don't use a walker, but I remember when my mother was using a walker, they were saying, oh, when people have blind issues, they have to use a cane, a white cane, and a walker. And I'm saying, how in the heck do they do that? And you guys are answering the question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is Brian. You
Hi,
have the
Dick.
floor.
Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. In I understand everything on walkers, everything you talk about, and there's support cane. The only thing I would add that I've learned that also works is being in Utah, we do have our snowstorm just like other states. My home is up on a slight hill.
Oh.
When I need to go down to a bus, I have to go down the side street, and in the last 10 feet before I hit the main street, it's very steep. And then the bus stop is right around in the corner. Well, sometime in the middle of winter, that last area just before I hit the main street is very icy. I have a couple of times just totally slip and land right flat on my back. And so on the bad snowstorms, when that happens, when I need to catch the bus to go to work, one thing I do have is a guide dog, but you can also do this with a cane. And I also have one of those hiking, what I call them, hiking things that you buy at the sporting goods store. They're telescopic. You can extend them out. And the very bottom of that has a tip that removable, where you can use a rubber tip or you can use a straight metal. So what I've done, I've taken the rubber tip off and used a straight metal. And what I do is when I go outside and then the snow plow's been by, so got up to about a foot to foot and a half of snow piled right out in front. I'm trying to get over that to get into the street to head down. Is that I use that, I smack that thing into the ground for support to keep me from flipping. And then I use that to get around there. Then as I go down the street and I hit that real icy spot, I slow down and I always dig that thing in to keep me support. Been a couple of times where my feet started slipping. And that cane being dug in the ground didn't move, saved me. And then as I walked towards the bus stop, the snow piled even higher. And when the bus pulled up, about like climbing over Mount Everest to get over the snow to get inside the bus. So that particular cane made out of aluminum and telescopic and tighten it in there with that sharp tip. I've used that a lot when I get in icy, snowy condition for mainly for balance. As far as trying to get around without slipping and killing yourself, which luckily I haven't done yet.
Okay, well, thank you. That's interesting. Yeah, it's we want to have techniques where we can be out and about, because a lot of us live in places there's it's been so cold here and snowy, and you're going to be walking on ice just
This is
to go out.
Judith.
Yeah, Judith.
Yeah, I was just going to give some feedback to Brian. I don't know. I live in Colorado, and we have a program through our public transportation company here that offers a taxi cab, and the first $25 is free. So I don't know where you work, but it just sounds a lot easier if you could just call a taxi cab and get to work, and then call the taxi cab to take you home from work. I don't know what you've got in Utah. I don't know if they have this a similar program or not.
Can I break in? This is
Yeah, go
Brian.
ahead. Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying on that. Here in Utah, there is I guess ride share programs. There is also a paratransit. The last year, I retired just under 2 years ago. The last year I qualified for paratransit. And it's just ironic that in the year winter of 2023, going on to 2022, 2023, it happened to be a record snow year where we had more snow hit Utah than ever in the record books and roads and everything. I'm just lucky that I qualified for paratransit, and that's what saved my hide. Or another of my skin is using the paratransit. Otherwise, I'll be stuck in 2 feet of snow and blowing snow, trying to wait for a bus. Hopefully, they'll show up. So, but yeah, I understand what you're talking about as far as that. So the weather factor is not near as severe now because I don't need to go out every day. But during that time, oh yes, it was a real experience.
Okay, so why don't we move on? Because I want to have a little time to talk about some different things regarding hearing loss. So I know that for many of the people I worked with at the Colorado Center in the senior program, about 30% of the people had some kind of significant hearing loss that did affect their travel. Sometimes it's not as easy to hear the cars. If you're wearing a hearing aid, and it is important to, if you have a hearing loss, to get hearing aids and to use them consistently. But it can be difficult to, with a lot of wind. So I would just say that with traveling with a blindness and a hearing loss, some of the things that we are going to talk about, you know, later in the week are super important, such as using sun cues, feeling the sun, understanding your cardinal directions. I think one of the most challenging things that people ask is how to cross a street. And, you know, if you're crossing a busy street, there is absolutely nothing wrong with getting some assistance. I'm not advocating that you just haul off and cross a busy street if you're not hearing the traffic well. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. There are some, what would I say, some services, some resources that I want you all to know about if you do have a hearing loss. Now, the words deaf blind, let's talk for a minute about that, because a lot of these services are going to use those words. This is for deaf blind. Well, when we use the word blind, we think of the way it is if you need to significantly change the way you live your life because of your vision loss. A lot of times, like we've said before, most people have some remaining vision. The same thing is true about hearing loss. Most people have some hearing. They have what is called hard of hearing, but are not necessarily completely deaf. Right. So when you think, when I tell you about these services, generally they would be available to you if you have been identified as somebody who is legally blind and as somebody who needs hearing aids. You would be, you would qualify for services as a deaf blind person. I'm sorry, there's a lot of noise in the background here. There is something called the ICANN Connect program, and I believe that that is available in every state in the country. Here in Colorado, it's through the Commission for the Deaf, Hard of Hearing, and Deaf Blind. And it is a way to obtain equipment that allows you to communicate better. So that could be an iPhone or a computer or a recorder or other things. Not only do they provide that equipment, but they will also provide training to use the equipment. So that is something for you to think about. If within your state, you could start off, if you think you want that service, if you want some piece of equipment that will help you communicate better, you can start, and you think you would qualify for it, you can start off by contacting the Agency for the Blind, and they would be able to tell you whether they administer it, whether it's the Commission for the Deaf that administers it, It just varies from state to state. The other thing here in Colorado is we have a program called the Support Services Provider Program. It is available to people who have a significant hearing loss, need to use hearing aids. And this is where you could get an actual person to assist you with communication. So that might be a person who could assist you
Oh, great.
in the doctor's office, communicating with your doctor, or at the grocery store. It's a variety of ways that a person can use an SSP, a support services provider. Again, this is a person and it is paid for. Again, in Colorado, this is through the Colorado Commission for the Deaf, Hard of Hearing, and Deaf Blind. So those are two services that you may not have known about before that might be available to you.
Yeah.
Sharon, do you have anything you want to add to that about hearing loss?
So I have a friend who has hearing loss in one ear, but not the other. And she got hearing aids that transmit, well, her hearing loss is such that she needs it to be controlled volume because she's totally blind and she uses a cane and doesn't want to go, didn't want to walk and not be able to tell the direction of traffic and hear it. And you can get hearing aids that will help you somewhat with that. It isn't always great, but she does it anyway. And that's one of the things that can happen to a person. So she's like lost most of the hearing in one ear, but not quite. So they put a hearing aid in the other ear, in the ear that's bad, so that maybe she can at least tell a little bit more which way to go, by sound I'm talking about.
Sure.
Hi, this is Jim from Connecticut again.
Hi.
I just have a question. I don't know if this is fact or fiction, but somewhere I heard that ear pods or earbuds from Apple can be used as hearing aids. Is there any truth to that?
I think sometimes people do try to use that. I am not going to be the best person to ask about whether
Wouldn't
that actually works, but I do know that people are have tried it. Is
how
anybody?
does that wo how does that work?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know that.
Yeah, we had.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we want to. Wasn't there a speaker yesterday who spoke about hearing loss and hearing aids that would be a person we could ask.
Okay. Who's going to do that?
Oh, no, Melanie. This is Sandy. I'm happy to do that, and maybe I'll have something to report at 2 o'clock.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Sandy. You know, I have a friend who used somebody else's hearing aids.
Oh.
He was trying to use, so he had a friend whose father passed away and he had hearing aids. And he was using this other person's hearing aids, and of course, it didn't work very well. Now, this is a really smart person who was doing it. I just couldn't believe that he was trying it. The thing to remember is that, hearing aids are very personal to you. and are prescribed for you and for your particular hearing situation. And so definitely don't be doing that.
Yeah.
Hearing aids are very individualized.
Right. Right.
One size does not fit all.
That's right. True.
That's right.
Any other questions about anything we've talked about today? Okay, well.
Shelley?
Yeah, Shelley.
Hi, Duncan. It's nice to meet Sharon as well. So I like the idea of the small cane on the front of a walker. That's just a hoot to me because I'm going to be facing knee surgery early in March, a knee replacement, and a walker is the thing that has been proposed. But I have a pre-op test later in the month here, February, that I might check into this sidewalker thing. I like the idea.
Yes.
But I like the little tiny cane because I'm very short. So the height of a walker is going to be an interesting notion to me anyway. But I like the idea of that little cane in front to kind of clue people in. And maybe even, I guess if you got it kind of a correct length, you could actually do a little swiping in front of you as well to if the heights of everything worked out correctly is what I'm saying. So,
but yeah.
I'm not sure that my experience trying to use a walker with a regular cane is really difficult. That what I was talking about is I have a cane on the side of my walker. I use duct tape so I can take it on and off because when you get in a cab, you need to not have it be out there. So then I have a cane. It's not the right length, but it's better than nothing. When I get into a lift or something like that, because often I've been taking lifts because it's been difficult to ride the. I'm just getting the point where I can ride buses again. I'm so excited. But the reason I really have the cane is to identify myself as blind.
Right.
You don't want people just not knowing you're blind. That's right. Really an issue.
Well, I appreciate this conversation today. Thank you all.
Sharon, with that cane on your walker, could you use a piece of Velcro on your walker?
Yes.
A piece of Velcro on your that might be good. You can buy Velcro.
Yep.
That has a adhesive back.
Yeah, that's what I've been using,
okay.
And I put it on the side of my cane so that they know I'm blind because. I said to one of my friends, well, what if I just use this short cane and put it on there? She said, they wouldn't know you're blind. I thought that was very interesting. She was insisting that I have this long one. So that's kind of what I've done when I know I'm not going to be going up and down, whatever.
Yeah.
It's often, if I'm going to my physical therapist's office, I know that I won't have to walk up and down any steps or anything like that. And I know if I'm going to the mall, we have a second floor mall in downtown Minneapolis. I know there are no steps there. So I feel pretty safe using my walker there. But if it's unknown territory, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go. It's hard to figure out how to do the walker. So like yesterday, I went to urgent care and I had my short white cane. That was all, which is I thought, well, I know I've been at this office many times, but then they sent me to the hospital. So I couldn't walk really that far, so they put me in a wheelchair, which is fine because I really couldn't walk that far yet. I'm working up to it, but you never quite know. They knew I was lying because I did have a cane with me.
Here.
Oh my God. Oh.
Don't know what that was.
I don't know. It sounds like a smoke alarm to me.
It did.
Yeah. So anyway, it's, you know, it's kind of, I wish I'd had both of my canes, you know, when I had knew I had to go somewhere else than I expected. But oh well. You
Sandy, a quick
learn.
question and a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Sure.
Somebody asked me yesterday what a robot cane was. Do you know what that is? I have no idea. And while you're thinking about that, because I take it maybe you don't know,
No.
for outside on if you have to walk on snow and ice, one of the
Yeah.
things that works wonderfully is yak tracks.
Oh,
Y
yes.
A K TRAX. You can buy them from Amazon, but I'll tell you've got to have amazing hand strength to get them
Yep.
on your shoes.
That's true.
Yep, it's true. Buy them a size larger than you think.
Patricia
That's.
has their hand raised.
Oh, it's not, it says Anne Marie, I see also.
Hi.
Good job.
Patricia's first, yeah.
That's very good.
When you're using the side roller, the side walker, do you just slide it along or do you have to pick it up when you said it had like three or four legs? Do you, when I broke my ankle several years ago, I had a rollator and it worked, but I like the idea. I'm intrigued by the idea of a side walker because I think I
Yeah.
could use more support.
Yeah. I'm gonna buy one of those. I wanna try it.
But
I think the
Angela.
question is, does it have wheels or not? That's the question.
Oh yes.
I don't think it had wheels. I'm pretty sure that she did have to pick it up.
Oh no.
But it's very lightweight
But still.
and still
Karen, now are you
provides
saying
support.
that you have one that does have wheels?
No.
Oh, all right. So we don't think it has wheels. Okay.
Okay, so
But
I'm going to
that's okay. It's still
give
worth looking
we have
into.
one more
Thank you.
person.
Okay, Anne Marie Harris.
And hang on, I need to respond to Sandy.
Ahead.
So, a robo cane,
Oh,
it
that's
is a
funny.
thing that
Okay.
has been developed by the National Institute of Health. I will do some research into this and respond to it tomorrow because I'm unfamiliar with it. But I'll just tell you, I'm pretty opinionated and I'm very skeptical of anything that is high tech regarding
Alexa.
pain travel. I
Yeah,
just
right.
have, yeah. But I will do that because then I'll learn too.
I would agree,
Yeah.
but she called it a robot. ROBOT is what she wrote. And I thought, I have no idea what that is. Got
There is something called a robo, ROBO cane.
it. Okay. I don't
And
want one, but
okay,
that's.
we get one more question for this hour. So, Anne Marie.
You have the floor.
Hi, I'm just wondering what you know about the pain tips of Alzheimer's 360.
You're kind
You're
of
pretty
fading.
muffled. I
You're
can't
fading out.
understand
You're
you.
far away from your.
Hang on. I know what's wrong. Hang on. Sorry.
No.
Try this again.
Ahead.
No, it won't take it long.
All right, why don't we wait and you
Hold it
can
for the
ask?
2 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody. Thank you, Sharon. I love
Yes.
working with you,
Mm-hmm.
and I think we had a lot of people
Great.
attending. So
Right then.
tomorrow, I'll look up robot. Cane and also Robo Cane.
Thank you, Duncan.
Maybe two different things. I don't know.
Duncan, I'm sorry. This is Emery Harris. I think that my Bluetooth speaker was giving me a bad connection. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering if you what you know or what you can share tomorrow about the Pathfinder 360 cane tip.
I'll have to look that up too.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Your homework.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.